big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder. And this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm bringing in a first-timer. His name is Seth Muse. And today we're going to talk about what does it mean to compose an effective email that actually gets open. Because let's just be honest, we all compose emails in our ministry, whether you're doing student ministry or online ministry or family ministry, or you're a communications director, you're always composing emails. Well, how do you compose it in a way that actually gets opened? That is why I brought Seth on the podcast specifically to talk about that. And he goes into three specific areas in which you need to focus on in order for your email to get opened. So without any further ado, let's get into the podcast today with Seth Muse.
All right. Well, with me right now is Seth Muse. Seth, how are you?
I am super.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's good. Seth, this is the first time you've been on my podcast. We've talked before, and we've actually done a lot of social media together. But Seth, just for the benefit of everyone else, tell everyone a little bit about who you are and what you do and kind of your background in ministry.
Sure. About 1998, I started youth ministry. I met a guy in college, and he was leading worship and just pulled me into it. I started playing in the band with him, and just ever since then, got hooked on it and found my way into the ministry and did youth ministry for the last 17 years. In January of this year is the first year I've been kind of out of the ministry world and not working full-time in a church, and tried my hand in the secular world. You know, it was not a love connection, so I am moving back into in the next month or so.
Nice. Yeah. See, yeah. You and I both got our start around the same time. So
yeah. Yeah. I was thrown in, and it was when worship wars were happening and people were getting fired because they put drums on the stage and all kinds of stuff that kids today now kind of take for granted.
Yeah.
Like, man, we were there. We got scars to prove it.
Okay. Now I didn't ask you this at all in any of the pre-stuff that we did, but What was your favorite worship song growing up? Let's go back to the 90s for a second. What was one of those favorite worship songs of yours that you loved to sing all the time?
Man, when I first started, I'd been playing guitar for maybe 6 weeks, and I learned to play because I knew I was going into youth ministry, and if I wanted to have worship, I should probably learn.
Yeah.
Because nobody else is... I couldn't rely on anybody else to know how to play some of these songs, and I had no idea what to play. So I discovered this band, and I actually, on the way home today, was listening to them, having a real nostalgic kind of worship moment in the car, and it was a band called Delirious.
And
Dude, they just, I mean, I basically got their first couple records, and I just learned all the songs and played those. So we did the classics Over the Mountains and the Sea, and we did, which is actually called I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. By the way, everybody calls it the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But we did the happy song. We did Deeper. We did just all those songs. So my favorite one back in the day was one of theirs. And it was called My Glorious.
Okay.
And it just had this really rock and roll kind of guitar riff that I got to play. And I just really enjoyed playing it. But it was really upbeat and fun. So
that's awesome. You know, I was at my former youth pastor is actually now a pastor at a church. And I went to one of his services one time, and he brought back the song Creating Me a Clean Heart. He wanted to just bring it back a little bit because it applied to his message and everything. And so he had everyone sing Creating Me a Clean Heart. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the song we sang all the time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's a classic. I mean, gosh, I could go deep back in the library if you wanted to and start rattling them off. But man, we did the Passion CDs. We did all those Chris Tomlin songs. We did David Crowder like crazy because love Dave.
Yeah, so good times for sure back then.
Yeah, it was like we had a band and we had all the lights just full on in the room, you know, like full on fluorescent lights and no mood lighting or anything, and overhead projector over to the side. you know, with the transparencies up on the wall with the words and stuff before we had computers and screens and all that kind of stuff.
I love the transparencies, man. We could go back. We could just do a throwback Thursday one day of just all the old youth ministry stuff.
Oh man, I so didn't know what I was doing. I was so lost. I was just like, hey, I think I saw my youth pastor do this once. I'm going to try it. You know, that was basically how I did everything.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, as much as I would love to go back in time with you about youth ministry and even recently about youth ministry, because you've been in it a long time, I actually have you on because I want to talk to you about email stuff. Give me a little bit of a background, a little bit about you and communication.
Okay. So again, in being in youth ministry, you have to learn that kind of stuff because your kids are often on the cutting edge of technology.
Mm-hmm.
So you're picking all this stuff up, maybe not even knowing you're picking it up. And so that's why I think youth pastors make really great media communications directors and executive pastors when they get older, you know, and they kind of get away from the youth because they picked up all these skills and they can use these skills. And that was the same for me. So I kind of dabbled in it. And over the last two years,
yeah,
I started to really just feel a pull in that direction. I felt like my time in youth ministry was done and mm-hmm. I was developing this passion for learning communications in the church, and my home, the church I was at, was allowing me to take some of the reins in a few things.
Okay.
And we actually tried to create a job for me and all. It didn't work out, but it was a time where I was actually learning a lot and, you know, podcasts and blogs and everything I get my hands on. So since then, I've just been studying, learning on my own and figuring mm-hmm. out. Now, I did go to seminary. I got a Master of Arts in Media and Communications at Dallas Theological Seminary.
Cool.
However, by the time you get out of there, it's all kind of irrelevant now. Or it's changed, you know, yeah, and it's like all that stuff you learn is like, oh, this is pretty great basics.
Yeah.
And you know, you're also in a class, it's a small program. So you're in a class with like somebody in the video editing class, for instance, and we're learning Final Cut, and I'm such a noob on Final Cut, but Premiere, I'm like really good at it. And mm-hmm. so I'm in there with these guys and they're getting good at Final Cut and I'm just clunking along. Finally, in my final project, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it in Premiere.
Yeah.
So you get all kinds of range of people in there. So it was hard to learn, but it did give you a lot of space to learn on your own. That's what I've been doing ever since.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, you know, one of the things you said you were really passionate about is about sending emails, but not just sending emails because we can all send emails, but sending emails really effectively,
yeah,
so that they actually get opened. Because
yes,
let's be honest, we send a lot of emails in our business and mm-hmm. We want to make sure that they get opened. So what has been your experience? What have you found that have been some really cool ideas and tips that you could share that would really help get, as people are sending out their emails, whether they're a youth minister or a senior pastor or even a church administrator or a communicator, what would you kind of encourage people with in sending emails that are actually going to get opened?
Yeah. I think there's three parts to really getting them opened. And, you know, the first part would be writing it. And then the second part would be how you format it. And yeah, then the third would be how you finalize it, and basically the editing process. So I think in your writing process, you need to have a good subject line. I mean, you've got to have some kind of way to, as soon as they see it, because that's the first thing they see in the inbox. So mm-hmm. if it just says church newsletter every single time,
yeah,
that's boring. I mean, they're going to get tired of it. Or they're going to go, oh, that's just announcements. And if that's all you're doing, yeah, they're not going to open it. They may think, oh, I'll open it later, or I'll get that info somewhere else mm-hmm. or something. And, you know, it's just kind of not compelling.
Okay.
So that's the foot in the door, is that subject line.
Okay.
So you got to write a good subject line. In fact, I would say use what's called merge tags, which personalizes the email. And I think MailChimp has a lot of this, and a lot of them do.
Okay.
Where these little tags you can actually put in your email that says, it's like the little asterisk and then a bar, and it says F name, which is for first name.
Yeah.
And whatever you got in that field for them, it'll insert it automatically.
Okay.
And so that way your subject line can then be like, Tom, have you heard about this really great thing? And mm-hmm. then whoever it's to, it'll put their first name in. So it makes it more personal.
Yeah.
And I think that really helps in your writing to get opens.
Let me hold on real quick about this subject line stuff, because it's really insightful. I'm thinking, because, like, for instance, I send out a student ministry weekly email.
Right.
And I know people don't open it. I mean, I just, but we use a different thing. I want to get into male clients in a little bit, but are there certain words that I want to try to avoid, or are there certain words that I would want to utilize in a subject line?
It depends on what you're trying to say. And I think the subject needs to be along the lines of what you're going to have in the email, a hook,
okay,
you know, to get them into that email. And what I've done is I went and just Googled the phrase great email subject lines that get opened or something like that.
Okay.
And I found copybloggers.com and copy hackers, and they have all these formulas and lists and stuff. And some of them are like five things to make great thing even better, you know, and they have you fill it in, you know, or something like that. And those are just easy.
Yeah.
You know, low hanging fruit. You can just pop into your subject line. And depending on what you want to do, you can kind of look at your list and say, let's fill blanks here. And then the words come really easily, you know,
okay,
and it's something that they want to open. But words, I think, need to be relevant. They need to be action words, you know,
okay,
that, and there's also things like in your subject line, uh-oh, could you be doing this wrong? You know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
It sounds manipulative sometimes, and it sounds clickbait. But it's like if you're asking a legitimate question, you know, could you be doing this wrong? You know, like
yeah,
you want them to open it. If the content inside is important, then mm-hmm, you kind of sidestep that and go, I just want you to open this. And if that's what it takes, you know, I may use the wording a little bit to kind of pique your interest. I mean,
right,
it's just like the big reveal that we all like to use. It's the same kind of stuff. So I don't have a problem with it.
No, that's great. That is actually really good to know. I actually saw someone one time who, they knew that people weren't really opening up their emails. So they started, their subject line became like song lyrics of popular songs at the time.
Yep.
And it caused them to be interested. But it goes back to what you're saying. If you can hook them, if you can tease them a little bit, it's going to get them to open it up and look at it a little bit more.
Yeah. And it depends on who you're emailing too. I mean, most of the time in youth ministry, it's going to be parents. You're emailing
yeah,
parents about stuff going on in your youth ministry. So a good tagline is not going to be a good email subject line is not going to be something like a really weird, goofy thing that only kids will understand, you know,
right,
even though it's funny to you, you know, and your friends might think it's funny. The kids think it's funny. Parents are going to go either one, this guy is kind of a wacko. They may enjoy it. I mean, they might have those parents. I've had those.
Yeah.
But if you really want them to open it, that's really the goal. Then you need to write something that makes them, a parent of a student, want to open it. Like tonight at the mix or whatever you
mm-hmm,
call your Wednesday night, you know, we've got a big thing going on, you know, some kind of, I wouldn't say it like that. It's terrible, but you know, some line that kind of gets them to think that.
Yeah. No,
so
that's great. That's very insightful. I like that. It gives me a whole different, my mind is going crazy right now with just different ideas that I could be using for this coming week.
Yeah.
So
it kind of drives me nuts when I see, like, we're just going to call it newsletter number 5. And then the next one will be newsletter number 6. I'm like, oh, it's so boring.
Yes.
It's so boring. I don't want to click that. And even if I do want the info in there, I'm probably not going to click it because it just, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
It didn't hook me with the subject, you know?
See, and you're speaking right to me because I'm just going to be honest. I've done stuff like that before.
I've done that too. I mean, this is all stuff I've learned in the last couple of years. It's,
yeah,
man, I used to write an email to my parents every week. And oh man, I look back on what I used to do and I didn't know any better. I mean,
yeah,
you can't blame me. I was
right,
just trying to convey information that I thought was important.
Yeah.
But the way I was doing it, I kept having parents, like, you know, 10-15% of them would open it,
mm-hmm,
which is actually not terrible, but it's, you know, for a newsletter to 30 or 50 people, it should be better than that.
Yeah, right. So, well, after you do the tease and after you do the good subject line, you talked about formatting in the body. So talk to me about that. What are some cool tips that you can share with us about that to make it appealing and where people are going to want to read it?
Yeah. In formatting, first of all, length is a problem. It needs to be between 300 and 500 words at the most. And I'd say 3.
Okay.
So if you're going to write a letter kind of format. Now,
mm-hmm,
if you're doing bullet points with graphics and things like that, you know, that's dangerous as well. You have to kind of be careful how you format that. But you want to basically make your email scannable. So just like a blog post, when you look through it and kind of your eyes can jump to certain sections real easily.
Okay.
You want to make sure that is doable. So when they open up the email, if it's like a ton of pictures in a row, you know, they're going to have to process all that. Or if it's a lot of text, then they're not going to read it. I mean,
mm-hmm,
they're just going to look at it and go, man, what does this guy think? I've got like 10 hours to read all day. I'm busy, you know, don't send me that kind of stuff. And so I know that Michael Hyatt and Donald Miller and Brady Shearer and all these guys that are, you know, forward thinkers in that field, mm-hmm. what they're saying right now is less graphics, more plain text looking emails with links, because it looks more personal. It looks more like it's from a real person instead of a mass email.
Oh, interesting.
And people are just more likely to open it. I do that format for my email list. I mean, I just do like, I don't do a big header, you know, with a graphic or anything. I just start. It's a letter. Yeah. And I save my graphic for the bottom, and I just put one.
That's very cool. That's awesome. Okay.
So you want those headings, like bold headings to jump to sections, or leave white space in the email so your eyes can kind of breathe and determine and interpret the footage here, you know, and to use a video term.
Yeah.
So you kind of want to look at what you've got in there and be able to jump from, oh, here's the thing about the Wednesday night deal. Oh, and here's Sunday morning thing. And here's that fundraiser we're doing.
Yeah.
They want to be able to jump to it real quick.
And you're saying put links in there so that they can click and go to other sites. You don't need to put all of it together there.
No, you don't need to put it all there. And I would say when you're in that section, to focus more on giving them in the copywriting world, because I do that too, it's called a benefit versus a feature. Okay. A feature is going to be something like, here's all the great things we offer. And that's kind of like, this event's going to be really cool. It happens at this time. It's going to be on this day. It's more informational, but here's a feature of our ministry. A benefit is more like, hey, here's what's going to happen to you if you come to this. If your kids show up, it's more of a story. It's more storytelling. So here's what's really cool about this event. Mm-hmm. Last year we served at this lady's house. We built a retaining wall and it was awesome. And she was so happy she came to the church, you know, so make sure your kids are there to be part of this really cool thing, you know, something compelling them to attend. Mm-hmm. And then the link, here's information to the link.
That's great.
So,
yeah, see, I tend to put too much information in my stuff and not enough links. And now I'm really thinking through right now how I can be more about the links, give some basic stuff, but then give them the links so they can get the information.
Yeah. And links are good too, because it will send them to your website, sends them to places like social media. Mainly I would use your website as like your gathering pot, you know, like here's the info, link to the actual page where the info's on, not to like the homepage. And then they got to find it, you know, go link to the student page slash whatever that link is and just drop that in as a link, and not the whole link. I mean, like pick a word, highlight it and turn that word into a link.
Yeah.
Know, don't put all the messy link in there.
Oh yeah. 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 Right. Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Don't put the big long link in there.
Yeah.
So
no, that's awesome. Okay. Well, and here's my last question I got for you, before we wrap up. What kind of mail, there's a ton of different mail clients out there. There's, you know, and when I say mail clients, there's a ton of different places like MailChimp. I use MailChimp for a variety of different things, but I know there are other things like Constant Contact and some other stuff. What have you found to be useful ones? Would you suggest that they just use the church database email client, or would you suggest maybe going to something like a MailChimp?
No, I've not heard very many good things about using the church database.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Okay, you know, good. I have not heard a lot of people just go, man, I just love how our database sends email. Everybody says the opposite.
Yeah.
And in fact, I know there's some people, some friends of mine that are at a larger church that are migrating from doing that to MailChimp.
Okay.
And that's what I use too. I use MailChimp and I love MailChimp. MailChimp's free.
Yeah.
But the $10 plan is like really, really powerful, and most ministries can afford it. And what that offers is an automation, which is like when you sign up for my list, it automatically sends emails that you've planned in succession to like introduce them to your ministry, tell them all about your church you know, in small little bites. Yeah. So it sounds like most people are like, oh, I hate getting emails. But, you know, if you really sign up for the list and you really want it, it's not as bad.
Yeah.
You know? I've heard AWeber, I've heard Constant Contact, I've heard MailChimp, and there's several others. But you just find one that works for you, that does what you need it to do for the price that you need, and they all pretty much do the same thing.
Yeah, and again, I know for a fact for MailChimp, you said it's free. It's free up to 2,000 people. So, I mean, if you want some basic stats, and if you have a congregation or a group under 2,000, I mean, it's free. And so.
Yeah. And for most churches, I mean, that's your entire church can fit in there, and you can send as many as you want, you know, of your standard weekly email. Plus, they have templates that are easy to drag and drop and make it look really good. Now the automation stuff, they have automation templates. So you just, it shows here, you're going to send 4 emails. Here's what this one does. Here's what this one does. Here's what this one does. Yeah. Now just go fill it in. So it's great. I love MailChimp.
Yeah. And a guy like me who I know enough about technology and things to get myself in trouble, I actually found MailChimp very easy to navigate and to use. Yeah. And I love it because, again, the stats that I get back from it are so much better than the stats I would get back from our church database.
Yes. So MailChimp is easy. I learned it on my own, taught it myself to myself.
That's awesome.
it's super easy. I mean, I'm kind of technical. I like that kind of stuff, but yeah. Most people can just look at it. If they know kind of what it already does, you can see how it all works once you get in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy.
Well, Seth, dude, this is awesome. This gives me some great ideas for my own, personal email stuff that I do with YM Sidekick, but also with the ministry stuff side of things. And I know that you've got a lot of great stuff that you're doing. As we wrap up, where could people connect with you if they have a question for you, or if I know you got a podcast yourself, so share a little bit about where people can find you.
Well, two places really, other than social, SethMuse.com is where pretty much you can get to everything else I do from there. I do have a podcast. It's called The Seminary of Hard Knocks.
I love that name, by the way.
Yeah, and I appreciate you coming on. It's really fun. I'm having a good time with it. So, real practical ministry, helping ministry leaders, make practical decisions with confidence and clarity. Mm-hmm. I feel like we get thrown into the mix. You come out of seminary, you know how to preach the gospel, but you maybe don't know how to lead a meeting, or you don't know how to fix a toilet you're called upon to do all kinds of stuff that isn't covered in the curriculum. And that's kind of what I focus on. So I actually have a checklist that is available for free on my website, one of the blogs. Mm-hmm. It's the checklist email for emails to, go get that. And it has like all the best practices, kind of what we've been talking about in more detail.
Yeah. Here. And I'm going to put all your links to your podcast, your website, and to this checklist, because the checklist is awesome. I'll put all those in the show notes so people can just quickly click on that and download that as well. So
that's awesome.
Hey, Seth. Well, listen, it was much appreciative. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And again, as we've talked before, we've got other topics we need to cover. So I'll have you back on for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I look forward to it.
So
thanks, Tom.
All right. Thanks, Seth. All right. So there you have it. My conversation with Seth. And just to apologize a little bit, I actually had a little bit of a problem with my recording this past week, recording Seth. And so it came out a little bit choppier than it normally does. So I apologize for that. But I hope it didn't distract you from getting the cool content that Seth was sharing about how to effectively get your email to open. What stood out to you? I'm curious, really. What stood out to you in that conversation? Because there's a lot that I'm going to directly apply into my ministry, especially the hook on the email subject line. That was gold right there, considering that I am one of those guys that says, New Life Student Weekly Update, November 12th. So I do those, typical boring subject headlines. So I would love to hear from you. What is the gold nugget that you're going to take away from that, from this podcast today? Hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder, or you can even email me, tom@ymsidekick.com. I would love to hear from you, and I'm sure Seth would as well. And remember, all the information on Seth and his content and how to connect with him on Twitter and his blog, you can definitely go to the show notes and click the links there to connect with him. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for us today. Thanks for joining me. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, definitely go to iTunes, subscribe to it, and also head on over to ymsidekick.com and check out all the fresh content there. Not only do I have the podcast there, but I also have blogs and vlogs up there as well. So check out ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, have a great rest of the week, and I will see you next Wednesday.